7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and it is going to be the tight end rankings for the fantasy football season 2017. And if you guys have not listened to our other episodes yet,
please, you're an idiot.
Please do so, because you're going to get an edge on everybody else this year in your fantasy football league. And those are the quarterback, running back, wide receiver episodes from 1 day ago, 2 days ago, and 3 days ago. So go and listen to those. Feel better about yourself and where your fantasy team is going to be from there.
Can't spell education without edge, Josh.
That's one way to say it.
I love it, Tim.
So, again, you guys can check us out on Twitter, at PonyCake Sports, at PonyCake Tim, at PonyCake Tom.
Woo!
Check us out on our website.
It's an awkward night here in the studio.
PonyCakeSports.com. So please go on there and check out the website. The podcast is on there. A bunch of fantasy articles. Our updated rankings for all the positions are going to be on there. So go on there, check them out, and feel better about yourself on where you're going to be at on draft day, because mock drafts should be happening now. If you're not doing mock drafts or ranking these players, you need to be doing that, because that's how you get better at fantasy football.
And if things get slow this offseason, we'll just start ranking the top 15 Kama Sutra positions. Throw that on the website. That's essentially what our friends at Cleat Geeks do with a lot of their stuff. So it'll be great.
All right, guys. So let's get right into it. And we're going to start off with number 15. Again, we are going to do the top 15 at each position. So 15. Tight end.
Number 15, we got Kobe Fleener. Me and Josh both had him ranked. Tim did not. Tim had a terrible pick at his 15th spot. But Kobe Fleener. Look, last year, everyone was all hyped on him. Most people had him top 6, top 7, top 8 tight ends in fantasy football. I was all aboard that freaking hype train. We saw the last time that Drew Brees had a fantasy or a tight end who was relevant and extremely athletic, and Jimmy Graham, what he did. He was fantastic. Even Ben Watson was fantastic in that New Orleans system. Kobe Fleener was not that last year. I had him at 15, Josh at 14. I'm just not thrilled about this, just how much he disappointed me last year. It's hard to get back on that train, but this kid was a second-round draft pick by the Indianapolis Colts. He's a physical freak, and hopefully him and Drew Brees can get on the same page. If that does happen, he's got top 12 potential.
Yeah, you look at the New Orleans Saints and what they've done with the tight end position. When they had a Jimmy Graham, he was a elite tight end. When they had a who was the other tight end after him? Oh, my God, I'm drawing
a blank. They had Ben Watson. He had like 900 yards.
Yeah, Ben Watson was an older guy, but he was pretty good as a tight end as well. And then they had Josh Hill. Josh Hill was pretty decent. They brought in Kobe Fleener. He was supposed to be, quote-unquote, the guy. Wasn't the guy last year. But now with the departure of Brandon Cooks, we could see Kobe Fleener really come into his own and be that red zone target that Drew Brees really does need. And what do they need? More receivers. And Kobe Fleener may step into that that area with Brandon Cooks gone now.
At 15, you guys have Kobe Fleener, but if you guys want to talk drafted in the second round tight ends, you have to talk about Big Walnut High School's own Adam Shaheen, who I have at my number 15. 6'6", 278 pounds.
Why are you doing this?
Baby Gronk. He's coming to Chicago. Going to take over the world. What's up?
Terrible.
I had to do it. I have to try to start liking my team again. I'm slowly acclimating myself to try to, you know, talk them up, and everyone knows how mad I was about all of their picks. This was my first step to rehab, if you would.
In general, Kobe Fleener, if you're that type of fantasy owner that likes to wait super late on tight ends, he's a guy who will add some value to your team. He's worth that stab in the dark to get him. Because you got to look the team he's on, the New Orleans Saints. They just love to pass the football. He had a couple good games last year. Most of them were absolutely horrendous. But you could do worse than Kobe Fleener as your starting tight end.
And if you have the last pick in the draft, Adam Shaheen's perfect for you. You got Mike Glennon at quarterback with that long-ass neck. He can see perfectly over the O-line. Adam Shaheen's huge. He's going to hit him over and over in the end zone.
Yeah,
There's nothing to say about Kobe Fleener.
I mean, Adam Shaheen, I mean, I know you're going to harp on him over and over, Tim, but, I mean, if he proves to be anything like everybody's talking about, like all these scouts are talking about,
He played great in Pee Wee football. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, he's just, I mean, who knows? Maybe he will be the next big thing, but he's not going to be. So, number 14, let's just move on. Adam Shaheen is not 14. It is somebody else, and who is it?
Number 14 is one of my favorite tight ends this year to get late in the draft. Jared Cook, Oakland Raiders, fantastic team, fantastic fit, like we've talked about in our quarterback episode. Derek Carr's never had a tight end to throw to that's reliable. Jared Cook proved last year with Aaron Rodgers. Towards the end of the year, Aaron Rodgers was like, oh, wait, I have someone who's super reliable and can make fantastic catches. He's a great tight end. He can block. 14, I think, might be a little bit high. We might be talking about a top 10 tight end here, but he's going to have to prove it first. We'll see what happens.
When Jared Cook came into the NFL, Mr. Josh Stevens, I think you were the highest on him that I've ever seen. You were talking him up, top 12 type a tight end going into Tennessee. Dude's a physical freak. He's not much of a blocker, but this man can freaking split the seams in the secondary, go across the middle. He's a total matchup nightmare, and you have to really like and be thrilled that he's going to Oakland. It's the second team in 2 years, but again, he's getting another really good quarterback who is at the top of his game and who's been dying for a dominant tight end. And I think Jared Cook could be that in Oakland.
If Oakland gets in the red zone, teams are going to have to be so afraid with Marshawn Lynch. You have Amari, you have Crabtree, and now you add Jared Cook. It's a scary, scary thing what they're building in Oakland.
It's kind of a weird situation with Jared Cook because you look at where he finished last year. Do you guys know where he finished?
Not off the top of my head.
All right, so let me kind of just draw you a picture. We all know how let's go with one Vance McDonald. Vance McDonald finished above.
That was my dude.
He finished above Jared Cook last year. I think Jared Cook's stats and his performance in the playoffs outweigh all of his production in the season. Yeah, he missed a lot of games during the middle of the season. He had one game above 10 points. That was 14.5 points in week 11, where he had 105 yards receiving and one touchdown. Every other game, 8 points, 5 points, 3 points, 1, 1, 1, 1, 3, 0.
That's ugly.
He was the 36th ranked tight end last year, and we're talking about this guy being a number 14 guy over the likes of last year. Let's see, Ryan Griffin from Houston scored more than him. Austin Hooper, rookie tight end from Atlanta, scored more than him. Not even to mention Richard Rodgers was right below him at 39 points.
It all comes with the team and the fit. Green Bay wasn't necessarily looking for that, and once they finally realized that he was healthy and saw how good that he was, they started exploiting teams and started building their offense with him actually in it. You know, prior to that, throughout the year last year, it was more of a, hey, he's just another guy, just another, you know, he was a Ty Montgomery when Ty Montgomery was a wide receiver, or, you know, one of the fourth, fifth wide receivers. You know, it was majority Jordy Nelson and Davante Adams show, and then with Ty Montgomery doing what he does. So I feel like you're going to be pleasantly surprised with what you get out of one Jared Cook.
Let me ask you guys this, just because we're talking about how high he's going to be in these rankings for us. We all know what Jack Doyle did last year. He did pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm.
What about his other teammate that he had, Dwayne Allen? Dwayne Allen or Jared Cook, who had the better fantasy year?
Dwayne Allen.
Yeah, he did.
He had a 3-touchdown game against the Jets, which helped him out tremendously.
I think even without that 3-touchdown game, he still beats Jared Cook in total fantasy points for last year.
So Josh hates Jared Cook.
I think with us all having Jared Cook, me and Josh both had him outside our top 12. You just have to love the upside. It's kind of been like this for the last few years. Even when he was on the Rams, it was like, who else are they going to throw it to?
Yeah, exactly.
He's a matchup nightmare, and you're just rolling the dice and praying that he can actually live up to his potential. This man, he's a freak. He's the total matchup nightmare. That's what you want in your tight end. He shouldn't even be considered a tight end. He's not very good at blocking. Doesn't block too often. He should be a wide receiver, but the league likes to label people at other positions.
With the weapons that they have there with Amari and Michael Crabtree and with Marshawn Lynch, he's going to be the check down guy, the safety net, if you would, for Derek Carr.
Next up, number 13.
My guy, Mr. Hunter Henry. A lot of people, there's tons of people out there still thinking that this is Antonio Gates' job. Antonio Gates might be labeled as a starter, but that's just that franchise being nice to their old veteran tight end. Hunter Henry is the real deal. He's going to grow up this year. It's his second year in that offense with Phillip Rivers, and I think he's got extremely high potential with Phillip Rivers. We've seen him exploit a lot of teams in the red zone, throwing to the tight ends. He's done a great job of it his whole career, and you have to love that Hunter Henry's been learning from one of the best tight ends ever in the NFL, and Antonio Gates. It's going to be his year to break out.
Yeah, I have him at 14. I have this as a prove it year, right? I mean, this is a, you know, prove that you're going to take over for Antonio Gates and be the guy who holds that position for the next, you know, 3 to 5 years, if not longer. Prove that you're the guy that can develop that that relationship with Phillip Rivers. Prove it. And that's just kind of where I have him. I have him at 14 because he does have a high ceiling, but prove it, son.
Last year, he finished number 11 overall with 93.8 points on the year. That was right underneath Jordan Reed and Antonio Gates, and right above Jack Doyle, Jason Witten, and Kobe Fleener. So he had a very good last year. He had a couple decent games, like you guys said. Yeah, this is a prove-it year. Antonio Gates is, in my opinion, done after this year. I really think he is. And Hunter Henry should be that next guy up. He had 4 games of 10 points or more. Week number 4, 5, 6, all 3 games in a row. That's when everybody hit that Hunter Henry bandwagon. And then they were not happy after that because they had 16 yards receiving, 14 yards receiving, and 0. So this may be that type of year for Hunter Henry. And I think we'll see something special out of him this year. He has nothing but upside. Yep. Especially with the additions that they made, they're going to try to throw that ball around. So
over or under, Antonio Gates has played 12 seasons in the NFL.
Over.
Yeah, over.
How many do you think he's played?
14.
13.
14 years?
14. Interesting.
Bam!
Next up, number 12.
His middle name is Ethan.
That's interesting.
Tim, you're up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We have Kyle Rudolph right here. I believe that's who we have.
It
right?
is.
Kyle Rudolph. Look, last year, Tim brought this up. I really had no idea. We were doing a mock draft. He took Rudolph. I laughed at him. He's like, dude was number 3 tight end last year. I was like, no freaking way. But he was. I believe he scored 6 or 7 touchdowns last year, but ended up being a nice little safety blanket for Sam Bradford. With Kyle Rudolph finishing 3rd as overall tight end last year, I just think that's showing you how weak this the tight end class is in the NFL right now in fantasy. When Gronk and Jordan Reed aren't healthy and there aren't an elite level tight end like that in the league, guys like this can come up and be game changers for you. Not a huge fan of Rudolph. I had number 11 on my rankings, but it's just shocking that he was number 3 last year in fantasy points.
This just should help everyone realize that outside of the Gronk, Jordan Reed, Travis Kelce, and maybe even Greg Olsen class, you should really think about taking your tight end late. You know, yep. Fill those other positions, maybe fill some backup positions, because you may be able to get someone like a Kyle Rudolph or maybe another sleeper, you know, tight end that can go out and end up finishing in the top 5. So you never know. Like you said, I was the highest on Kyle Rudolph, which I think is hilarious, and you guys both made fun of me, and I have him ranked the lowest in our top 15. So I laughed quite a bit about that. But no, he's Sam. You said it best. He's Sam Bradford's safety blanket.
Yeah, plus you don't know where you're getting out of those wide receivers right now. You have a Thielen, you have a Diggs, you have a maybe Treadwell. You don't know what you have yet. So he is going to be that safety blanket type player for Bradford. So we'll see what happens. Him reaching number 3 status again this year, Maybe. I doubt it.
I doubt it.
You're going to see the Delvin Cook take a lot of those red zone touchdowns.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of dump-off passes to Delvin Cook. Next up, number 11.
We have Eric Ebron, what's the word I'm looking for here? Just a polarizing tight end. You know, people love him. Then he goes out there, doesn't score any points for a couple games. You know, does the 1-2, and then he goes and scores, you know, a touchdown or two with over 100 yards. You don't ever know what you're going to get out of Eric Ebron. Another, you know, prove it year. What's he going to be in the NFL? Is he going to be someone that you can rely on? Someone that you're going to think of as a top 10 tight end? And, you know, develop that relationship with Sam Bradford? Or is he going to just kind of fall in line with a, you know, hey, I might spot start him here or there and hope for the best?
Ebron has all the physical traits you're looking for in a tight end. I believe in the last 6 years, he's the highest tight end drafted in the NFL. So that's kind of showing you something.
Took him in the second, right?
No, they took first him. Round. It was first round, like, okay, picked yeah. 11 or 12 or something like that. He's physically gifted. I like how he's progressing. He's getting better each and every year. So you got to expect that that happens again this year. It'll be his, I believe this is his fourth year with Detroit. I like how Jim Bob Cooter was using him. I would like him to get a bigger role, and I think they're expecting more out of him. They didn't invest too much getting Matthew Stafford some more pass catchers. This dude just needs to stay healthy. I remember watching Lions games, and it seemed like every other series he was getting banged up and missing a series. If this dude could stay healthy, he's going to have a good, solid year in Detroit.
Yeah, he was the 15th ranked tight end last year. And it's kind of tough because he did miss a couple games, like he said. And later on in the year, that's where he really did his damage. He had a couple games where he had four catches, four, eight, six. If he gets on a good rapport with Stafford, then we could see some good things. Plus, you got to also remember, they don't really have a great wide receiver on that team. They have Golden Tate. They have Marvin Jones. There is no star power on that offensive side. So maybe Eric Ebron can be that go-to guy that Stafford really needs.
And taking into consideration, he was the 15th ranked tight end, and he had one touchdown.
Yeah, he had a rushing touchdown as well, but two total. But, yeah, it's absolutely crazy. He missed the four games, and he still produced like that. Imagine if this dude can score 7 to 8 touchdowns. You're looking at a top-5 guy.
Next up, number 10.
Number 10, we have the Black Unicorn, Martellus Bennett, newly acquired by the Green Bay Packers. Look, Aaron Rodgers loved having a tight end last year. You saw at the end of the year what he's been missing in that offense, what Jared Cook brought to them. They thought Martellus Bennett was an upgrade. I think it is as well. He's a better blocking tight end, more all-around tight end, might not be as on that freaky side of athleticism, but Bennett can get the job done. He's a seasoned vet. And he deserves to be right here. He deserves to be in the top 10. A lot of people were ranking him top 10 last year when he was number 2 behind Gronk. Didn't put up the numbers we were expecting in New England, but I think he'll have a better year overall in Green Bay.
Yeah, I feel like Rodgers and Bennett are going to form some unfortunate, memorable games for Green Bay Packers fans. Listen, if he can keep his attitude and his personal stuff out of it, he's one of the best tight ends in football, no doubt.
Yeah, he finished number 7 last year, which is very good for a tight end that was on a team with Gronk as well. Even though Gronk did miss a lot of games, still finishing number 7 is very, very good for a guy such as himself. So,
well, didn't he have, wasn't it like one game he had 3 touchdowns, and yep. One game he had like yeah. 2 touchdowns? A majority of his stuff came in just a couple of games.
Yeah, he had one game that was 6 catches, 67 yards, 3 touchdowns. And then he had another game that was 5 catches, 114 yards and a touchdown, 70 yards and a touchdown, and then a couple of late touchdowns later in the year. So he had a good couple games here and there, and then that 3 touchdown game probably won somebody a week. So not bad. Next up, we have pick number 9. Who do we got?
We have Zach Ertz. I'm not a big Zach Ertz fan. I had him at 11. Obviously, you know, he's one of those. You can say it a lot about a lot of these tight ends that are hit or miss, or real hot and cold. Definitely a top 15, you know, tight end in the league. I don't think there's any doubt about that. His production concerns me a lot.
Zach Ertz, extremely frustrating to own. Look, he didn't score a touchdown to week 11, and he only had 4 on the whole year. It's not what you want from an elite level tight end. He's a guy that's going in the 7th, 8th round in drafts, coming off the board pretty early. It seems like every year at the end of the year, this dude blows up. He had a huge week 17 game, had 13 catches, 139 yards, 2 TDs. He had another big game against Washington, 112 yards. I love this kid, but I feel like he is not on the field that much for Philly. He seems to be splitting reps all the time at tight end. He's not the best blocker in the world. And that's something you got to worry about. There's going to be a lot of red zone plays where he's not on the field because it's going to key the defensive team that they are not running the football and that Zach Ertz is going out. Loves Zach Ertz's potential. He's a Stanford kid. His head's been clean. He doesn't get in any issues at all off the field. But it's worrisome when you're investing a mid-round pick on a guy who's not going to score a touchdown in week 11.
Yeah, my thing is, I just thought that Philly didn't really have the running game or the wide receivers to take pressure off of one Zach Ertz. I think Zach Ertz is a very, very good tight end, and he could be a top five guy. I really think he can be. But we don't know what his true potential is. This year, though, could be different. They have an Alshon Jeffrey. They have a Torrey Smith, a deep threat type guy. Maybe that does open up avenues for Zach Ertz to get the ball a little bit more or across the middle. So there is potential now that since there is another wide receiver on that team. You look at their number one wide receiver from last year, Jordan Matthews. He is now slated technically as their number three guy. That is crazy to think. Number one jumps to number three. Well, you could say he's a number two, but that's theoretically what it is. He's going to move to the slot, and it should open up avenues for Zach Ertz.
Another guy, I already said it twice with tight ends, but make or break year. 5th year in the league. What's he going to be? This is the year to prove he's more than a 2 to 4 touchdown guy.
Next up, number 8.
We got the one, the only Jimmy Graham of the Seattle Seahawks. Finished last year 4th. Tight end and standard scoring. It was an up and down road for him all year. Wasn't really sure how he would fit in Seattle. His first year there, he had that gruesome injury. Last year kind of came back to himself, but Seattle is not the greatest system to be at for a tight end. I still think he's a fringe top five tight end. If you draft him in that spot, I'm not too worried about it. This tight end class is ugly, and you look at the numbers all these guys were producing last year. It's not very pretty. I remember the glory days when Jimmy Graham was winning people fantasy championships when they were drafting in the 3rd or 4th round, and he was putting up wide receiver one numbers. That's not the Jimmy Graham you're going to get anymore. It's plain and simple.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham finished number 4 last year, and I remember last year we were talking about that gruesome injury that he did have. And we said that if that injury is anything as serious as we thought it would be, that it would just linger into the season and we would steer clear from him, hands down. And it's funny that we do say that. You said you wouldn't draft him at all. Yep. You ended up picking him up, yep. I believe, off of waivers and riding him through the championship rounds. But it proved having him and picking him up early was the right move. His first week, 11 yards. Second week, 42 yards. And then he's just started blowing up. He had 100 yards and a touchdown, 113 yards, 89, 53, 34, 103 and 2 touchdowns. He just kept producing and producing and producing. Again, like you said, I think the Jimmy Graham days may be over, but he's still going to be a solid contributor.
He's 30 years old. He's proven that he can be one of the top tight ends in the league if everything works itself out with the running back issues, with the offensive line issues. He's going to have a above average year for Seattle to compete.
Next up, number 7.
Tyler Eifert. Another guy who can be, what's the word I'm looking for? He can be very hot and cold. His injuries are obviously the biggest concern. He has a hard time staying healthy. You know, he had that great year in 2015 with 13 touchdowns. Interested to see how his numbers improve or decrease with the addition of Joe Mixon. You know, adding that true number one running back, what does that do for him? What does it do with, why am I blanking on the quarterback? Redhead.
Andy Dalton.
Thank you, Andy Dalton. I'm going to say AJ McCarron. Knew that wasn't right. Andy Dalton, you know, he's always been that guy who could be there as a safety net. Didn't have a bad year last year when he played. You know, he had 5 touchdowns, but Can he stay healthy? Can he prove that he's there for the long run in Cincinnati?
When Tyler Eifert is on the field for the Bengals, he's one of the most productive tight ends in the league. Tim, last year he played 7 games, I believe it was, and he had 5 touchdowns.
Yep.
But it's scary how many games this dude has missed. He got hurt last year in the Pro Bowl game after his first fully healthy year. It's just, it's been the biggest biggest issue with this guy. People continually draft him mid-round, 6th to 8th round, and just pray that this dude's going to stay healthy, because when he does, he's a difference maker. If this guy could play the whole year, he's top 3 tight end, locked in the book for me, but it's hard to invest that high draft capital into him when you know his history.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. You have a new Joe Mixon, you have a John Ross, you have weapons around him. If he stays healthy, he could really be that top 3 tight end that you could really hope and look for. But he's got to stay healthy. You have to really think about it. Like, am I going to give up a top pick for a guy that may or may not be there for half of my season?
If you are, tough. You better make sure you're drafting someone in the back end, you know, the later rounds, to ensure you have a backup.
And it's still not even set in good for him right now. You look at him, he came out and said, I'm going to be good to go when it is time for the season. Week 1 of OTAs, blah, 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 all that good stuff. And then 1 week later, it came out and said he's not going to be ready. And then he said, oh, you know what? No, I'll still be okay. And then it came out again. No, he's not going to be ready. What is the real story with Tyler Eifert?
Yeah, it's really hard to decipher what's going on with him. But if you can guarantee me a healthy Tyler Eifert, there's only one tight end in the National Football League I would take over him, and that's Gronk.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Pardon me, Josh, to your question, I feel like it's more of he wants to go, he wants to prove that he's ready, and it's Marvin Lewis saying, son, take a seat, relax, we need you healthy for the regular season.
It's very possible. Next up, number 6.
Josh, you take this, because
we have none other than O.J. Howard on the board at number 6. I personally had him at number 9.
You're Tim, the lowest.
I know. I had him at number 9. Tim, you had him at 7. And then, Tom, you had him at 5. The reason being, I had him so low, and really, I want him higher. But the thing is, I look at Cameron Brait, and I'm not going to say that Cameron Brait is the greatest tight end ever that's going to take a lot of targets away from him. But the thing is, he will take some targets away. Look at Cameron Brait. He finished, what, top 6 last year? Top 6 in tight ends. Cameron Brait, of all people. O.J. Howard can be that guy, and I think he's better than Cameron Brait, but Cameron Brait will take targets away from him, and that's why I had him pegged at number 9. So that's just where it's at for me.
Yeah, personally for me, I look at Cameron Brait's numbers last year. I believe he had like 600 yards, 7 or 8 touchdowns, somewhere along those lines. But I think O.J. Howard's a way better football player, and unlike you, Josh, I think he's going to just dominate reps and plays and snaps in the NFL next year for the Bucks. I think he's pro ready. This dude can block. He stayed at Alabama to learn how to be a better blocker, and he's going to be an asset for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers running game. And we look last year, Kyle Rudolph finished 3rd. O.J. Howard is a hell of a lot better football player than Kyle Rudolph is, and it's kind of showing me how soft the tight end group is right now. Most of the top-level guys can't stay healthy. O.J. Howard hasn't had injury histories in the past. I'm going to be taking O.J. Howard in a lot of drafts, and I believe in the last 10 years, the highest fantasy ranking for a rookie is like 16th, but I think O.J. Howard is that good, and I'm willing to invest a high-round pick on him.
Yeah, I put him at 7, just, you know, right outside of the top 5. Super, super, super high ceiling, but like Tom said, there hasn't been a lot of proof of, you know, young tight ends coming in and being extremely successful. So that's where my, I guess, concern would come from. He is a physical freak. He is a fantastic, pass-catching tight end. He can block, like Tom said. He's going to be a great addition for Jameis Winston and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Interested to see how it all plays out for him.
Yeah, plus, in my opinion, there just may be too many people to throw the ball to. Look at how many people they got. They got O.J. Howard. They got Cameron Brait. They have Chris Godwin. They have Mike Evans. They have DeSean Jackson now. That's a lot of guys.
The thought of a, you know, no back set, which they probably will do when they're down a lot, you know, because they're not have a solid running game right now. But no back set. You have Brayton Howard both on the field with Jackson Godwin and Evans. That's a scary thought for how our defense is going to be able to cover that, where there's not really any secondary in the NFC South right now.
Very true. With that being said, number five.
We have Delanie Walker of the Tennessee Titans. Man, this dude is getting old, but he continues to put up good numbers. Last year, where did he finish, Josh? Fifth?
Fifth, yep.
Fifth. That's right about where we had him ranked. He had another solid year, though. He is Marcus Mariota's safety blanket. He remains that. He's still got a lot of football left in him. Didn't play a lot his first few years in the league, so he's got a lot of tread left on those tires. He's a red zone like weapon, straight up. He scores tons of touchdowns, and I still like him a lot in Tennessee, and he deserves to be in our top five.
I love Delanie Walker. I put him right where he finished last year, which was number five, like you guys said. Just obviously concerned with all the weapons that they added in Tennessee. You know, you don't know how many looks in that red zone he's going to get. You know that they're very high on their running game right now. It'll be interesting to see, like you said, Tom, how he develops in his older age. Is he still a 8-10 touchdown machine?
Yeah, you guys are pretty much saying everything that I'm going to say. You know, they have the running game. They want to stick to the running game. They added pieces to the puzzle. And I just think that I don't want to say that they're phasing Delanie Walker out, but at the same time, it almost seems like it. So, number four.
Why don't we just read it? We all have the same top four.
All right, so we all have the same top four, and it's going to go like this. Number four is going to be Greg Olsen. Number three is going to be Travis Kelce. Number two is going to be Jordan Reed. And number one is going to be Gronk.
I was a little shocked at first. I remember the last time we did some rankings in February. I believe we all had Kelce. So I thought Kelce at number two. I thought, yeah. I really thought you were both still super high on him. I'm a little shocked when we put all our rankings on Google Doc and Jordan Reed was number two. I like it, though. I think we're all just thinking of the healthy Jordan Reed, what type of athlete he really is, what type of mismatch he really is for that Washington Redskins offense. And you see their offensive coordinator coming out and saying that the offense is going to run through him. And he's up at number two just because the ceiling this dude has.
Very, very interesting to me with these top four guys for us. Obviously, I don't think any of them finished in the top four.
No, Travis Kelce and Kelce Greg Olsen.
Okay, so, but you have, you know, two guys who have a hard time staying healthy. One with multiple injuries in Gronk, one with head injuries in Reed. You have Travis Kelce, who's slowly starting to maybe have personality issues. Who knows, but there's a lot of mouths to feed there. And then you have Greg Olsen, who's kind of pushing the end of his career here, you would think, right? Obviously, still super productive, but, you know, slowly starting to get older. He's been in the league for a long time now, so I was surprised as well that we were all on the same page. If Gronk is healthy, no-brainer number one. If Reed is healthy, he's going to push Gronk for number one. And then Kelce and Olsen, I feel like, fall in line exactly like that. These are the only four guys that if they are there early in a draft, that I'm considering.
Yeah, same here. I mean, Reed can really take over a game if and when he's healthy. But that's the biggest thing. He has proven he cannot stay healthy. I'm just hoping that with them saying that they're going to go through the offense with him, and you really have an unproven in Josh Doctson, you have you're investing in the running game with P. Ryan, and you still have Fat Rob, and then you still have Chris Thompson taking a couple dump-off passes here and there, plus you have Kirk Cousins that is trying to prove something. Hopefully that connection between Kirk Cousins and Jordan Reed proves to be deadly.
You know, and he has the injury issues, and he's still kind of a hothead. You know, he's had was it the last game of the year? He punched someone in the helmet.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, only badasses punch people in face masks. So.
Kelce last year, in a 9-game stretch, he had 6 100-yard games. This dude only had 4 touchdowns on the whole year, so it's kind of showing what that Kansas City Chiefs offense is like. But that's something you have to like when you're getting a tight end catching, getting 100 yards of receiving yards, that's amazing, and that just adds value to him. And I wish I had him at number two. He, in my eyes, he deserves to be number two. He's been able to stay healthy. He's been such an important part of that Kansas City offense. Yeah, they've been adding weapons with Tyreek Hill. They've had Jeremy Maclin now a couple years. But Travis Kelce is a guy that offense runs through. I think it showed that in the second half of the year.
Let me ask you this. If you had to pick between one Travis Kelce and Greg Olsen, and just think about Greg Olsen, all right? Greg Olsen, they have an added Christian McCaffrey on that team now, a Curtis Samuel, and they still have Calvin Benjamin. Maybe he's healthy. Maybe he's at playing weight. We don't know. Out of those two guys, who are you picking and why?
I'd take Kelce. Just the reason I just stated, his consistency with the yardage, getting 6 and 9 weeks is absolutely ridiculous. And I don't even know if Gronk has ever done that in his career. I don't know if any other tight end has done that in his career. It's absolutely insane the amount of yards he was getting. And you just got to pray that they find the end zone more.
Yeah, Kelce is – he's the only real consistent, I think. You know, and he is one of Alex Smith's best friends. As you can tell, he has a chance to be the number one overall tight end in the league this year.
Let me ask you this. Who had more targets on the year? Let's just pick a random one. Let's go Kyle Rudolph or Travis Kelce?
Kelce.
Kyle Rudolph.
Dang.
You want to know what the numbers were?
Yeah.
132 to 117.
That's nuts.
What about Greg Olsen? How many targets you think he had? Over or under Kyle Rudolph of 132?
Under.
Over.
Under at 127.
I'm bad at that game.
You look at Olsen's numbers as well. He only had three receiving touchdowns the whole year. That's crazy. Normally, he's a guy good for 6 to 8.
Yeah.
If he would have had 6, I believe he would have been the number one tight end last year.
Number one tight end he would have been. But the tight end that had the most touchdowns, it was a tie between Cameron Brate and Hunter Henry.
I have something that I have to bring up here, and I don't want to be that guy, but with Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen's brother, we talked about it a little bit before, is being accused of raping a girl. He's now been indicted on those charges. 3 separate accounts of that. There's also a couple charges of sexual assault. Each rape charge holds up to brings up to like 10 years in prison each. Not that that has, you know, anything to do with Greg Olsen personally, but you can't tell me that your brother being accused of this, the trial, I'm assuming, is going to be near the football season. They have proof that, you know, his brother sent they were drunk. He sent the girl death threats via text message before they met back up. He tried to kill himself. It just a terrible situation. His brother was a quarterback at Charlotte. You can't tell me that that's not going to weigh on Greg Olsen going into the football season. It's messed up. Maybe he just takes it out on the football field, and that's his outlet. Obviously, you know, don't feel bad for his brother at all if any of these things are true, but Greg Olsen's been nothing but a fantastic individual since coming out of Miami. Does a lot with Chicago charities still, so I do feel bad for him that, you know, he has to, you know, worry about his younger brother in this situation, so.
Yeah, it's kind of a shitty situation.
It's a messed up situation. You don't want to seem like you're, you know, feeling bad for the person's family who did this, because obviously the girl suffered way more traumatic injuries mentally, and, you know, obviously we are not all about that at all. But, you know, and that's something that I think about, talking about a tight end. I mean, this is a guy who you're talking, you know, top 3 rounds,
yeah,
probably drafted, right? It's going to be a big no-no in my eyes.
One last comparison. If you had to pick a tight end in the later rounds, if you're one of those guys that you said, you know what, I'm going to go with tight end like 12th, 13th, 14th round, what tight end are you looking for that late if they're there?
Adam Shaheen, tight end, the Chicago Bears. He is a beast. He's a physical specimen. He's ready to take over for Zach Miller and dominate the NFC North.
I hate your soul. I hate everything about you.
Most people do.
Mine would be probably Eric Ebron. I think he's going to be sliding a lot in drafts, be available super late, but he keeps taking steps forward. They might be small, but this might be the year he gets 5 to 10 touchdowns, and that would make him a top 10 option.
All right. Again, I'm going to recap real quick. 15 to 1, we have Kobe Fleener, Jared Cook, Hunter Henry, Kyle Rudolph, Eric Ebron, Martellus Bennett, Zach Ertz, Jimmy Graham, Tyler Eifert, O.J. Howard, Delanie Walker, Greg Olsen, Travis Kelce, Jordan Reed, and of course Gronk at number one. Anything else, guys?
Can Gronk stay healthy? Can he stay out of the WWE ring? Can he stop partying for one season?
I just want to see Gronk healthy again, even though that would make the Patriots even better. But this dude, when he is healthy, he can be taken in the first round, and it can be justified just because he creates that much of a mismatch at that tight end spot for you. Hopefully Gronk stays healthy. He's one hell of a football player, and he's extremely fun to watch.
Yeah, I just want to see Gronk and Jordan Reed both healthy all year long just to bring back the liveliness of tight ends for this year in fantasy football.
Definitely a down year for tight ends last year.
So, all right, that's all we have for you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed the tight end rankings for the 2017 NFL fantasy football beginning up. Hopefully you guys are already doing mock drafts. If you're not, you are behind the curve on that. So start your mock drafts. Listen to our previous episodes for quarterback, running back, and wide receiver in the last couple days. And then the next couple days coming up, starting next week, we are going to start breaking down team by team from there on out, which is going to be the depth charts, their drafts, pretty much all their stuff, who we think is going to have a breakout year. And that'll kind of steer away from fantasy on that. So hope you guys enjoyed. And again, you guys can follow us on Twitter at PonyKeg Sports, at PonyKeg Tim, at PonyKeg Tom. You guys can check us out on our website, PonyKegSports.com. You guys can also email us, PonyKegSports@gmail.com, if you guys have any questions, comments, or concerns, or any other ideas for shows that you guys want to listen to. All right, anything else?
That's it.
All right, guys, that's all we have for you. Have a great night.
Peace.